This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Bus. It's an important show, but it's a sad topic. We don't like to talk about people's potential failure, but we need to do it for you, for the people. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday, August 13th. And on this show, we're talking about players who are going to disappoint. We all randomly wore black today, so we are back in blast. Oh, man, sorry. That was terrible. Oh, that was just awful. That was just awful. I had to
Do you want to start over?
No, not really. Let's just leave it there. Back in blast. You can't do AC/DC. If you either can or you can't, and if you can't, then you shouldn't, right?
Yeah, I wish you had known that 30 seconds ago.
It's a learning. Everything's a learning experience, Dave.
Yeah, you're a bust.
That was a bust to start the show. Also, Darren Waller signing with the Panthers. Jadarian Price coming back to practice. We got some news updates for you here. Let's start out with, according to you, your pick two. You guys each gave five or six busts. Pick two. The two biggest busts in fantasy this year are, Heath, who are they?
The two biggest busts in fantasy this year are Trey McBride and Bucky Irving.
Jamie, who are they?
Christian McCaffrey and Travis Etienne.
Travis Etienne? Because usually you're Devon Etienne. You have your Etienne's right here?
Sure, I'll go Devon Etienne. No, let's just go. You know what? Just go Etienne and Etienne.
Okay, I love it. Dave, the two biggest busts in fantasy this year are
the ones on my list were Breece Hall and Kyle Pitts.
Breece Hall and Kyle Pitts.
Two biggest busts. Interesting way to start the show, along with singing and the worst AC/DC voice ever.
Let's talk about Christian McCaffrey, even though he wasn't officially named in this list.
He could be.
He could be, right?
So, and it's starting to feel a lot like 2024.
Jamie, I'll let you have the first word. Why was Christian McCaffrey originally your answer?
I mean, we have two seasons in his career with over 400 total touches. We have the following two seasons in his career where he's missed time due to injury. He's now 30, and the red flags are obvious, and now he's missing time in practice with tightness in some part of his body. It's the same situation that started to happen in 2024 after his 2023 season when he had over 400 total touches. So I think there's obvious reasons to draft him in round one. There's obvious reasons to still draft him sixth overall, which is what his ADP is. There's obvious reasons to fade him also. So for me, I'm probably going to avoid Christian McCaffrey. And the longer this lack of practice time lingers, the more concerning it's going to be, the closer I may get to putting him in round two. I probably will not get there, but it's going to be tough to keep him in round one if he continues to miss time, as we saw again in 2024.
When would you guys draft him, Christian McCaffrey?
The earliest would be ninth overall at this point.
I've got him eighth.
I have him eighth, but I'm getting nervous too. It's been three straight days, no practice, and I'm sure he's not going to play in their preseason game. We don't know when he's going to be back. We don't know the severity. They're downplaying it in San Francisco for what it's worth, but a lot of the moves that they made this offseason were designed to take pressure off of him in the passing game. And they've also talked about taking pressure off of him in the run game. And now we're starting to see possibly some sort of load maintenance. Could be worse than that. So you can start to actually build the case confidently for Chase Brown, James Cook, CeeDee Lamb, and even Devon Achane ahead of Christian McCaffrey if you wanted to build such a case.
Can I play something for you guys?
If it's AC/DC, no.
No, it sounds more like Ed Sheeran to me. But Josh, one of our listeners, made a bromance song about Christian McCaffrey. So let's play a minute of it because it pretty much sums up everything you just talked about. Here we go.
Fantasy football this year, I have picked number 3. free, but I've got myself a dilemma. Do I or do I not draft CMC? He's been so good to me some years, but other years have been so hard. And when he hasn't been here, he's just broken my heart. Oh, CLC, why do you do this to me? You're either the MVP or have an injury. Oh, CLC, tell me it's gonna be okay if I pick you today. Are you going to stay? Or will you play with my heart and make me fall apart again?
There you go. There's more, but we'll leave it at that. And it is the truth. You're either the MVP or you're injured. Picturing Adam with the boombox over his head, but I hear this song. Absolutely. Say anything. I love it. Okay, so that's Christian McCaffrey. He's obviously got to be in this discussion. Heath says Trey McBride and Bucky Irving. Why are they going to be two of the biggest busts this year?
I think we're going to see some serious target regression from Trey McBride as part of the serious volume regression for the Cardinals pass offense. And there are too many tight ends available 2, 3, 4 rounds later that are going to be very, very similar to him to take him in the top 25 or 30 picks.
And Bucky?
I just think he's the ultimate trap back.
Yeah, so his ADP on CBS is wildly different than on Fantasy Pros. 42nd overall on CBS. None of us are taking Bucky Irving there. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I thought he was in round 5. He's 44th on Fantasy Pros. Okay, so that is his ADP. Yeah. It's just when we do our drafts, I never see Bucky go in the 5th round. That's my fault. So he's a 4th round pick, like a mid 4th round pick. Too early, right, for everyone on Bucky Irving?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, when would you take him?
Around later.
I've got him at the 5-6 turn.
Jim? Round 5.
Round 5. Okay, and how about Devon Achane and Travis? Devon Achane and Travis Achane, Jamie.
Well, I think in the case of Devon Achane, we've covered this quite a bit. His numbers with Tua, without Tua, I think it's what, 15 PPR points difference in what he's done. Now, that's a little misleading because of when the games played and how the performances were. But I don't love the idea of him not having Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa. If he had lost one, maybe it'd be a little bit different, but losing both I think is problematic. Obviously, Jeff Hafley coming out and saying he's going to get as many touches as possible, you can view that as a great thing. You can view that as a good thing. You can view it as a terrifying thing because this team could potentially be bad. And just to sort of put this in context, they're doing their joint practices with the Commanders, and several Commanders beat writers said, this Dolphins team is awful, you know, so other people putting eyes on them in practice and seeing just how bad they could potentially be. I don't think that's encouraging for Achane's upside. So the fact that his ADP is still in round 1 is terrifying to me. I wouldn't take him until the middle of round 2. He's, I think, RB8 for me or 9. So I like Hampton better, Walker better, Genty better, Chase Brown better, you know, continue to go up the list. So I would be okay with him in round 2. I just don't think we're going to get him in round 2 in most of the drafts that we'll see, especially if ADP tells us that. For Travis Achane, the fact that Kellen Moore came out this week and said that he's okay with, you know, using 2 running backs after, I think we were hoping maybe that this would be the featured guy. The fact that Alvin Kamara stays there, Kellen Moore's history does not suggest that the running backs have dominant performances in the passing game. They'll be used. They just won't be used, I think, to the extent that we like to see. Heath did a great job pointing this out with Barkley a couple years ago. So Moore not using Travis Achane in the passing game, still having Kamara in that role, still having another running back that has the opportunity to have a little bit of success. And we have 2 very different versions of Travis Achane. 2 years where he was good, 2 years where he was absolutely awful. And so which version are we going to get here? I think he's worth taking in round 5, but his ADP puts him in round 4.
Dave, your 2 were Breece Hall and Kyle Pitts.
We... Boo.
Yeah. We're gonna have a rebuttal round shortly. But I love it.
I didn't boo you when you said those things about Trey McBride. So I was hoping for a little bit more decorum out of you, Heath Cummings. Kyle Pitts, we've talked about it. Like when he had those games without Drake London last year, phenomenal. Tight end one type stuff. When Drake London was on the field, it's around 10 PPR points per game. That is top 12 tight end worthy, but it's not top five tight end worthy. I think he's being taken too soon. And in the case of Breece Hall, I don't know how much is really changing from last year to this year. Obviously, the quarterback change is something, having Geno Smith there, but I think that's going to impact just the aggressiveness of the offense throwing downfield more than anything else. And last year, we saw it, even with a three-way split or however you want to call it, he was averaging 17.4 touches per game. We'd kill for that. And that came through for 13 full PPR points per game. He had 8 games under 10 PPR points in 2025. What's changed? He got paid. Frank Reich is there. And Frank Reich has always been a multi-running back play caller. And I'm pretty sure he's going to stay that way, even with this nice rosy report about Breece Hall being the lead back. Yeah, he was the lead back last year. And look how good he was. I don't think he's worth a round 3 pick, late round 4 at the absolute earliest.
Okay, yeah, round 3 for Breece Hall is definitely earlier than I see him go in our CBS drafts. Typically, we're not taking him there. 32nd overall on fantasy.
I have him in round 3.
Yeah, he will take
him. So here's the rebuttal round, right? So you each get to pick one thing that you heard and rebut. So Heath, you have to choose though. I would do Breece Hall because you already made your Kyle Pitts breakout case on the breakout show yesterday. But you and Dave, oh man, I love it. But what's your rebuttal for the Breece Hall bus case?
Well, if you want to watch CBS Sports Network in just a little bit, you'll see my rebuttal case when I talk a lot about Breece Hall. I'm not going to talk about Kyle Pitts there. So I'll just say, like, the first thing is Kyle Pitts is not being drafted as a top five tight end. So we should stop making the argument against him that he's going to be a bust because he's not going to be a top five tight end because he's not being drafted as a top five tight end. The second thing is that I think Dave is glossing over Kevin Stefanski and his long, illustrious career of short area, easy button targets to tight ends. And the fact that since Kevin Stefanski got there, because there was no guarantee that he was going to love Kyle Pitts, since he got there, they gave Kyle Pitts the mega deal extension. And then recently we heard that it sounds like Kyle Pitts is moving as well as he was early in his career before the PCL injury. Kyle Pitts is back. It's going to be a great time.
He's going as tight end 6. So I will amend my statement to say that he will not finish as a tight end 6 this year. Top 6 tight end.
Okay. Jamie, which one would you like to rebut?
I guess the only question I would have is for Breece Hall, because Dave brings this up about Frank Reich a lot. Was Jonathan Taylor in a committee in 2021 when Frank Reich was his coach?
Yes. Naheem Hines was the passing downs back. Jonathan
still
Taylor
worked out pretty well for
Yeah. Taylor. Well, that's Jonathan Taylor, early career Jonathan Taylor. I'm not going to compare early career Jonathan Taylor to
no, no, no. I mean, if we were comparing early career Jonathan Taylor,
not the same offense, not the same offensive lines.
Okay,
I would be surprised if Breece had Taylor like production.
Okay, if we were comparing early season Jonathan Taylor to current Breece Hall, then we would be drafting Breece Hall, or Breece Hall's ADP would be closer to round 1. I think just looking at it as I think when Frank Reich has a guy, he's like most coaches, they're going to lean on that guy as much as they possibly can, and I like the fact that, at least right now, Isaiah Davis banged up. I think that helps Breece Hall's case even more to show what he can do as a pass catcher. I do think this offense is going to be better than it was last year, probably by a lot, just because of all the new additions. It's not just Geno Smith. It's Kenny Sadiq. It's Omar Cooper. It's, you know, Adonai Mitchell for a full season. It's Garrett Wilson for a full season. Like, they had a lot of crap last year, and Breece Hall was just part of that crap. And now, yes, it's still Aaron Glenn. It's still a team that's probably not going to compete for a playoff spot. But I do think that they take a step forward, and hopefully a step forward in a significant way. So I don't want to overvalue Breece Hall. As you see, I'm marrying between the two of you. I would not take him in round 3. I think round 4 is a better opportunity for him. But I do think that running away from Breece Hall is a mistake. I do think he's going to have a much better season this year. And I do think being more involved in the passing game, which is what I expect, is going to happen.
Personally, I think, and I would say the same thing about your Travis Achane, if this is my turn to rebut, I guess, your Travis Achane bust case. Like, I think we're making a little bit too much of this coach is going to use multiple running backs. I mean, we like Omarion Hampton so much that we completely dismissed what what Josh, what Mike McDaniel just said about Omarion Hampton in the backfield, even though what he said about this Chargers backfield to me was much stronger wording than what he said about the Dolphins backfield. Everybody's talking about him saying we'll use four running backs. Didn't exactly say that. It was like, this was fantasy managers going to be disappointed, but we completely didn't care, which is fine. Like, there's not a single running back other than maybe Quinshon Judkins, and I don't think he's not going to be the third down back, that is just going to like devour touches in these backfields once we get to round four. And maybe I'm forgetting one, but they're all going to be in timeshares. So I just don't really care about that too much. What we don't want is, and I think there's a chance with it with the Jets, there's obviously a chance with it with the Bucks, is we don't want a guy to come off the field on third down and at the goal line. Is there a chance with that with the Saints too? With Devin Neal, I don't know. I think I'd be a little surprised by that, but Etienne or Achane's never been great at the goal line there. But like, just, you're not going to get an every down back in round four unless Javonte or Kyren falls there, but it's not going to happen. So I wouldn't make that personally part of my bust case unless you really think those other guys are going to have a significant role. It's like every running back from that point in the draft is going to be in a timeshare.
I don't think you can rule out Braylon Allen at the goal line.
Agreed.
He's way too big and way too physical. And now, if we're talking about Breece Hall not getting the passing downs work and not getting the goal line work, how is he any different from any of the other trap backs that we talked about? Now, that being said, do I really think Braylon Allen is going to get every single goal line carry? Absolutely not. I think Breece Hall is going to get his fair share. But last year, it wasn't very much. And this year, it's going to be that much different. Is he going to get to 8 total touchdowns this year? I'm nervous about that. I can't take him. And the ADP is very important. This is a round 3 pick according to ADP. And I just can't do it. I used to have him in round 5. There have been too many other players that have gotten banged up or situations changed. That's pushed up Breece Hall for me into like the round 4-5 turn. And that's probably about as high as he's going to get for me. He's not going to be on my fantasy teams.
All right, I think we should talk about Trey McBride. We'll do that in a bit. Also, if you've been listening to our show, and you know, even if it's fairly recently, I think you've heard a lot of the bust cases before. So some of the guys that we're going to talk about are Josh Allen. We love Josh Allen. We're not taking him 21st overall where he's going on CBS. Travion Henderson, Alec Pierce, who's hurt right now. The Steelers running backs, we haven't talked too much about that. I'm curious to hear the Jamison Williams call from Dave, because Chris Harris came on our show yesterday and had Jamison Williams as a breakout. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at some high-end guys, 4 running backs and 4 wide receivers, and I'm going to make bust cases for them, and you tell me how much you buy them. For example, I'm going to make bust cases for Jonathan Taylor and James Cook, and based on you, the listener out there, going, oh yeah, I could see that. Well, that might influence your Christian McCaffrey pick, right? Because it's obvious that Christian McCaffrey has a pretty strong bust case. If you think Jonathan Taylor and James Cook might also, well, then you might go, screw it, I'll just take Christian McCaffrey. But we'll see. So we'll come back with that real quick. We are one.
Just take Chase Brown.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's the one.
I guess I could probably make a bust case for Chase Brown too. I think
you make a bust case for everybody.
Yeah, you could.
I did a whole story on why every first round pick is a bust.
Exactly. Tennis match 1 week away. Here we go. Round 3, Dan versus Adam. This time in the Florida heat, where I think I will have somewhat of a home court advantage. But there are actually some auction items surrounding the tennis match. If you want to go to tinyurl.com/fftdonate2026, and you can see there are some things you can purchase, like to kind of influence the game a little bit, just to have some fun. We can get
Can we add something to the auction list?
What is it?
Well, Heath made a pretty bold bet with you yesterday.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's going to happen.
Okay, good. So I think if people believe in Heath's side, like maybe we can add on to what Heath is donating, because Heath made a pretty big number there. And so I wonder, like, if people want to, I don't know the way to phrase this, but like if people want to add to what Heath is donating, so like basically siding with Zay Flowers and they win, that they donate that money.
I see. That's why I think we should just do a straight up St.
Jude. No. You're not getting
it. No, because this, we do a straight up St. Jude bet, and then people can be on the Zay Flowers side or the Devontae Smith side. No. And then no matter what, we're going to raise a lot of money.
We're going to raise far less money if the prospect of you growing a beard for 4 months is not on the table.
So this is Adam has to grow a beard for 4 months if Zay Flowers is not a top.
No,
if Devontae Smith outscores Zay Flowers.
No, other way around.
If you're on the Devontae Smith side, then Heath wins.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just want to establish the rules of which games we're counting. That's all.
I want to know what's going to happen when you shave after 3 weeks and you go, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't hold up.
I've got an event. This is the problem. I have an event in January. I can't show up to that event with a huge beard.
So you're already saying you're not going to do it.
Well, I just, what's the event?
Are you surprised?
Thomas, can you pull up
a wedding? Is it a bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah. I can't go to my niece's bar mitzvah looking like a hobo. No, I can't. I can't do that.
By January, you should have like just a regular beard.
Well, no, because he said the moment the Giants are eliminated from the playoffs.
They're not going to be eliminated in October.
That could be September.
I mean,
all right.
I would like it if after the break, Thomas just shows Dan's poll that he put up in response to the, clip of yesterday's bet. And Thomas put a poll up in response.
By the way, so what's the number you're putting up, Heath?
$500.
Okay. So here's what I'll do. If Adam lives up to the bet, I will also put $500 to
St. Jude. The bet is on. The bet is on. I have no problem with the bet. I have that slight problem in January, but I have no problem with the bet.
You have to live up to the bet. If you do, so now we're both putting, there's money going to St. Jude no matter what, if you do your job.
Yeah, okay, fine, but it's got to be like games that they don't leave early with injuries.
Whatever you establish, as long as you, when you lose, if you lose, you have to, whatever the terms are, I will match Heath's promise.
All right.
So that we'll make sure we're giving money to St. Jude.
All right. I'm in.
Can't it just be PPR points per game?
Because
Adam wants to be able to count the games that he only thinks should count.
Hey, this could work out in your favor.
He wants it to be an
Azer
stat bet.
No, this could work out in your favor, okay? Lamar Jackson gets hurt and Zay Flowers starts struggling. I'm not going to hold that against you. I got some other things to talk about.
Devontae Smith is already hurt. He's been out of practice for a week.
I know. Yeah. Can we at least establish that he's got to come back to practice somewhat soon for this bet?
Maybe if you were concerned about the guy that hasn't practiced in 7 practices, you shouldn't have immediately jumped on me in the middle of a breakout show.
Zay Flowers is back. He's back. He's fine.
Zay's back at least.
All right. So Dave's doing this thing where if you pay like, I think $75, we'll set your draft order for you. We have one of those coming up at the end of the show. Ryan, thanks for your donation. We're going to set your draft order. We've got some, I'm going to start sending out FFT open invites today. Not all of them, but some of them will come out starting today. Our drafts are going to start on Monday, August 24th. They're going to be slow drafts that could take a week or two. Beyond the Box Score, make sure you listen to that. FFT Dynasty, make sure you listen to that. And we're going to take a break and come right back after this. Okay, I think we're back here. I'm completely thrown off by all this beard and bet talk, but let's get
Hold on,
Dave. You want to rebut the Trey McBride bus call?
Sure, but just I think there should be an amendment to the bet as well, because you're worried about how you're going to look by going to a bar mitzvah in January, and I don't want you to have that worry. Heath, would you be okay if he just kept a beard? He did trim it and made it look presentable. No. He's got to look like a wild man.
No,
for 4 months.
That's 0%. Just ridiculous. You're not going to look that bad by January.
Yeah, I think I will.
No, you won't.
So if you're just listening and you're not
watching. You've seen the hair on his arms. You know how fast his hair grows.
Dan asked, what are the chances Adam has an excuse for why he can't grow his beard out? The choices are 100%, 75%, 50%, 0%. No one's voted for 0% yet. 73.9% of people thought there was a 100% chance Adam would have an excuse and have already been proven correct.
Thomas voted for 100%. That really hurts.
When is the event?
I don't know. It's sometime in January.
The Giants could still be in the playoffs by then.
I have to grow a beard from the moment the Giants are limited to the playoffs until April, until the NFL draft?
Until the Giants make their pick.
What if the Giants make the playoffs?
I hope they trade their first round pick. Please, for the love of God, give us one more day.
What if they make the playoffs?
If they make the playoffs, he doesn't have to grow anything.
Then he has to start growing it as soon as they lose in the playoffs.
Yeah, you didn't say that, though.
Yes.
You said when they're eliminated from the playoffs.
When you lose a playoff game, you are eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I guess. If you put it that way, I thought it was, that was ridiculous. No, I thought you meant like eliminated from the playoffs during the season.
This sucks. I really don't like this, but I'm just going to say.
What if they win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they have to win the Super Bowl.
And then he's out of it for sure if the Giants somehow win.
I hate this. I really don't like I can't grow a beard for 5 months. That is crazy. But there should be a St. Jude buyout. I could pay a certain amount to get out of it.
10 grand.
Five 500.
10 grand is great.
Fair.
500?
No.
What's the,
definitely not 500. Yeah. I'll put in 500. So
I'm
you
have so to disappointed.
All right, all right, all right, all right. We got to get back to our show here. Dave, why is Trey McBride?
Please, people, we've said these busts a billion times. I know,
who cares? Everybody's drafting Trey McBride with a top 30 pick anyway. They don't need to hear my bull case for Trey McBride.
No, he's a huge lightning rod. He's going 27th overall in CBS ADP. I think he's going earlier than that in Fantasy Pros ADP. And I get the case against him. I also get the fact that he's been basically the most consistent target earner in the NFL, or among them, for 2.5 years. So, Dave, you don't think, you know, let's say the 2-3 turn is too early for Trey McBride?
No. First of all, he grows a fantastic beard. And I've heard from sources that when he makes a bet, he doesn't make excuses when it comes to getting out of them, and that he actually pays off the bet. So good for Trey McBride. I get what he's saying, and I agree to an extent that the target volume is going to go down. But Arizona's still going to pass a lot. They're still going to be in garbage time a lot. Their defense is in bad shape. And I think we're going to see Trey McBride lead all tight ends in targets per game. That's a really good start. Tack on that Jacoby Brissett has always been a tight end guy. And Carson Beck so far has not really embarrassed himself in the Hall of Fame game in recent training camps. So when he does get his opportunity, I think he'll be able to connect with McBride. I've heard Mike LaFleur talk about how much he loves Trey McBride and how he's going to weave him into the offense in ways that the Rams couldn't necessarily find one tight end to do that. He's their best receiver, and he gets targets in the red zone. And I think it's crazy to think that he's going to turn into a bad fantasy tight end. And maybe that's too strong of a term, but not one of the best fantasy tight ends, just because some things are changing in Arizona. I don't think enough is changing. Mm-hmm. Enough is a change in. I don't think enough is changing in Arizona. I still think Trey McBride is going to be the runaway leader in targets and receiving touchdowns, and he's going to be a great fantasy tight end.
Heath, just give the 30-second statistical analysis of why you don't believe in Trey McBride this year.
Well, it's directly related to the fact that I'm so excited about Sam LaPorta and Kyle Pitts, because Trey McBride and Harold Fannin last year had two of the most tight end friendly play callers. They lost those play callers. They were replaced maybe with better play callers, but not guys that target the tight end position as much. Trey McBride's target share and especially touchdowns were influenced by Marvin Harrison Jr.'s absence. And then the other thing I would say is, like, this idea of Jacoby Brissett, we have to remember who he was before last year. Like, you were right to call him fantasy kryptonite poison. At one point.
Fantasy poison.
Poison.
Mm-hmm. It's a great term.
He started the first 5 games for the Patriots in 2024. He had a pretty decent tight end in Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry scored 6.8 PPR fantasy points in those 5 games.
He barely threw, though, in those games, you know, I think, anyway, 2024. But, yeah, no, I mean, look, he's Jacoby Brissett. We all think that they're going to suck this year. They have one of the hardest schedules in football. Carson Beck seems like he's probably going to play at some point. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But, okay, that's the case against Trey McBride. Let's do this potential busts that we haven't talked about. Because, like you said, Jamie, people have heard these busts over and over again. So I'm going to give some other guys, high-end guys. Ashton Jeanty. Why do I think he might be a bust? He was a bust last season. Has enough changed? He had 266 carries in 17 games. So we love the fact that he's going to get a ton of work. But they went 3-14. They stunk. They might stink again. They got to face the Raiders have to face the AFC West, which is obviously really good, other than the Raiders. The NFC West, which is really good. And the AFC East, which has the Bills and the Patriots, and then the Jets and the Dolphins. They do get 4 easy games, though. Well, not necessarily, but Saints, Browns, Titans, Cardinals. So, Jeanty, bad last year, has enough changed. Schedule looks really tough. I think the team's going to be really bad. May not get, like, the 300-carry, you know, workhorse that you expect, because he's going to get all the carries, but he only had 266 last year. That's my bust case for Ashton Jeanty. Bustometer for Ashton Jeanty, 0 to 10.
4.
All right. You're not really feeling the bus case then.
The schedule is a really important factor and an underrated factor for sure.
The schedule is tough. He also had probably his best game last year against the Texans. So factor that in, that he did do well against a really tough defense. I think he's going to get the work in the passing game that we covet for a player that's going in this range. And the offensive environment should be significantly better simply by just the offensive line being better. I mean, the addition of Linderbaum and Colton Miller being healthy, those are two cornerstones that you look for to help any team. And if Linderbaum is still the type of player that he was last year in his career and Miller was before injury, then I think that helps Genty tremendously. So for me, he's a first-round pick.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, like, we always talk about how we know a lot more about the defenses, or think we do, early in the season than we do late in the season. And he starts off with Dolphins, Chargers, Saints, Chiefs. That's not a particularly difficult. Like, the Chargers and Chiefs are good, but probably not difference makers. The other two teams are probably terrible.
Chargers might be.
Well, we're going to sit Ashton Genty for any game anyway.
The Chargers have
Chargers probably will have the best defense in the NFL.
They had a great defense last year. It's not the stretch, you know. Oh, God, I hope the Chargers just pummel the Chiefs. I am such a Chargers fan this year. Genty, the other good thing about him, right, is like, okay, bad game script. Well, he's still on the field all the time catching passes.
Yep.
All right, next up, I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor here. He's been in the league 6 years. He's been a top six running back per game in only two of six seasons, and he's being drafted like that right now. Each of the last 2 years, at least, I didn't even go back before that, but each of the last 2 years, at least, Jonathan Taylor has been much better in wins than losses. Hat tip to Jake Seeley on that one. He's another guy who could have a tough schedule. Obviously, two matchups against Houston. Tennessee usually has a pretty good run defense. Jacksonville has a good run defense. There's more. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. But I don't know. Taylor, I guess it's like he's probably a little overrated based on his career. That would be my bust case for Taylor. And I'm worried about the Colts offense. 0 to 10.
1. It was a 2 before you went, I don't know what that was.
Trying to look to see how many times he finished 7th in fantasy points per game.
Well, he's being drafted as RB3.
Against Houston last year, he was held in relative check. I don't think he scored in either game.
I mean, I'm going to save you time and just tell you that the second half of the year, he really struggled because their schedule got brutal.
Oh, of course. And hello, there was no Daniel Jones. But he had 5 total touchdowns against Tennessee last year.
Yeah, so Tennessee may not be.
He didn't have any games over 15.5 PPR points once Jones broke his leg.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, again, you have to trust in Daniel Jones, which I don't think a lot of people say, yay, it's Daniel Jones. But the offense was definitely much better in the beginning part of the season. The team was much better in the beginning part of the season. I think this is, if DeForest Buckner's healthy, I think this defense could be, you know, above average, especially with Sauce Gardner being there. Forget about what you just saw A.J. Brown doing to Sauce Gardner. Brown's probably going to do that to a lot of cornerbacks. The thing that I love about Jonathan Taylor is, like, we saw not a huge spike, but a spike in his role in the passing game last year. Mm-hmm. And if that continues, so get him over 40 catches again, that's a huge bonus for what he gives you. So you're hearing right now Seth McGowan as the backup guy, and that's another player we should put at the back end of our drafts because, you know, Taylor's a year older, and we did hear this offseason that they want to take maybe a little bit of work off his plate. So just, you know, in the Marshawn Lloyd, Ray Davis, you know, those type of Mike Washington, those type of guys, you know, put McGowan on your list. But I think Taylor is going to be one of these guys that in the conversation for rushing title, rushing for carries, carry leaders, touchdown leaders, like he's got those things in his resume very easily and things he can accomplish this season. So I don't know. It's a small bust case, I guess.
Nah, look, we think he's safe. That's fine. Next up, James Cook. James Cook averaging about 2 catches per game the last 2 seasons. In terms of, you know, great running backs who are on the field on third down less than James Cook for route participation, Derrick Henry is the only guy who's getting more fewer third down routes than James Cook. He splits goal line work with Josh Allen. James Cook has really benefited from the Bills becoming super run heavy. Does that change at all with the addition of DJ Moore? And then the other thing is, like, he's 190 pounds, that's at least according to Pro Football Reference, and he's coming off a season with 309 carries in the regular season. So any concerns there? 0 to 10 on James Cook.
1.
4.
6.
Oh, 6. Which argument resonates the most with you, Jamie?
The one that I gave you a couple weeks ago of the rushing leader in the previous and the following season in their production. So the last 5 rushing leaders have lost at least 835 yards and 6 touchdowns the following year. And 2 of those guys suffered significant injuries, Derrick Henry with a broken foot and Christian McCaffrey, as we previously talked about. 2024 only played 4 games. So the thing that I keep going back to with Cook is he obviously is still young enough in his career. And you referenced in terms of the pat down work, that's all we've heard this training camp, is that they're using their running backs more in the passing game and that James Cook is going to have a bigger role doing that. Ty Johnson's currently hurt dealing with knee injury. We'll see if he's back for week 1. That would be the biggest threat to his role in the passing game, more so than Ray Davis. So I still think Cook is a first round pick. But this was a guy that I was, you know, considering as a top 3 running back. Now he's closer to 6. Again, still somebody I would take in round 1, but toward the back end of round 1.
But you can't penalize him for winning the rushing title and not penalize.
It's not penalizing. It's just history.
Yeah, but you know, but he had, he had 40 more yards than Jonathan Taylor, and they probably had, and he probably had more carries than Jonathan Taylor. But like, if you're going to be concerned about a guy getting a lot of carries, getting a lot of rushing yards, just because James Cook happened to be a little bit better than Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry for that matter, like they're the same bust. I don't know. It seems like they're the same.
No,
kind of-
I mean, you can, you know, dissect it however you want to. It's the same thing I said last year about the 2,000 yard rushers. You know, the history, for what it's worth, had suggested small sample size. There were only 8 of those. There's only 5 guys that we're talking about here. And prior to those last 5 guys, there was still, you know, enough data that shows that the rushing leader was still successful and healthy. But I don't know. It's just another thing to be, for me, a little concerned about. When you say you're taking 800 yards off of somebody's number for the last 5 guys that have done this. Now, again, points per game, if you want to look at it that way. So Derrick Henry, the year that he broke his foot, as we remember, that first half of the season, he was still Derrick Henry. You know, so before he got hurt, he was still producing at a very high level. I don't know. It's just for me, when I see stuff like that, it's a reason just to downgrade him a little bit.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll get through the rest of these guys. Heath has to bounce pretty soon, and then we'll let him talk about his bust. We also have some news and notes to update you on. We'll go through the rest of this list fairly quickly here. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. We're back. Okay, Quinshon Judkins on the bustometer. Judkins may have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. He has a limited role in the passing game. He has an unbelievably bad quarterback situation, it seems. If you look at his 17-game pace, removing 3 games where he played less than 40% of the snaps, was a lot of touches, but would have made him 13.1 points per game, would have made Judkins the number 20 running back per game in PPR, which is about where he's being drafted, better in non and half PPR. And he's coming off a major injury. So I actually would put him as like a 6 or 7 Quinshon Judkins personally. How about you guys, Judkins?
That's the argument for him. I think that's a solid argument for him. So I'm going to give you a 6.
2 because of his cost.
Okay.
I said 4.
4. All right. Nico Collins, get some wide receivers here. Nico Collins was the number 11 wide receiver per game last year, and that's basically where he's going this year. But no other wide receiver on the team earned more than 68 targets. We did have Dalton Schultz with 106, but he's still there. Jaden Higgins is having a good camp. Jalen Noel comes into his second season. Tank Dell is back. And I don't know, I just read a recent practice report about CJ Stroud, and it wasn't very encouraging here. So I guess the argument is Nico Collins needs a massive target share. He didn't really get it last year. What's your concern for Nico Collins? 0 to 10 on the bustometer at the 2-3 turn.
3.
So now we're not grading your bust case. This is just how nervous we are about Nico Collins.
Well, I just made the bust. I mean, it's the same, no?
Right. So you're not grading. I'm a little nervous. I'll give him a 6. I'm a little nervous about Nico.
This is pretty 4. High. Jamie, what'd you say?
4.
Zay Flowers, he was the number 36 wide receiver per game in 24.
0.
Number 12 wide receiver per game in 2025. He had right around 7 targets per game, which isn't really that much to begin with. So I've got a boo and I've got a 0. Dave has a 3rd or a 4th round pick, 0 to 10 on the bustometer for Flowers.
Yeah, well, which is it? Is it a 3rd round pick or a 4th round pick?
Let's call it the turn.
If it's a 4th round pick, I'm good with it. If it's a 3rd round pick, unless it's like literally 36, I'm probably going to say it's a little too soon.
Here's one I have a little bit
it's
of.
It's pretty crazy, the ADP that we have on CBS for those receivers.
Yeah, we've got some very strange ADP.
Like starting at 37, when you look at the ADP, not the actual number, like
right.
All those guys are starting to go in round 4.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really not that dissimilar on Fantasy Pros. Zay Flowers is 38th on both websites. McMillan.
Yeah, right, that's great. But Abuka's in round four. Devontae Smith is round four.
Devontae Smith in round four. That's, I don't think he is on Fantasy
Just Pros. Inside.
Yeah, he's right at the turn. 3-4. Okay, this one I actually have, I feel a little conviction on. Terry McLaurin. He's going to be 31 years old in September. Terry McLaurin has one season in his career finishing higher than wide receiver 20 per game. In that season, he had 117 targets in 17 games from Jaden Daniels. And second best on the team was Olamide Zaccheaus with 64 targets. Oh, no. Zach Ertz had 91. Then Zaccheaus had 64. So now we add Okonkwo. We add Diggs. There's more number. I'm not going to get into some of the target per out rate numbers, but McLaurin, bustometer 0 to 10.
4.
5.
I think it'd be easier to say that when we see where his ADP settles. It's still falling. He's down to the number Adam likes to use is 51. So he's around 5 pick now. So I'll say a 2.
All right, last one. The apple of everyone's eye, Parker Washington. Ooh. I get that he looks great in camp. I get it. But so does Brian Thomas Jr. apparently. And Travis Hunter is playing on offense. And Jacoby Myers exists. And Brenton Strange signed a 3-year, $36 million deal, so he's still there. Like, on a per-target basis, I bet Parker Washington is going to be really good, but, you know, the obvious concern here is there just won't be enough targets for any one player. And forget it. I'll stop there. 0 to 10 for Parker Washington. Let's say he's a sixth-round pick.
Sixth round?
If he's a sixth-round pick, then the number's like 2. His ADP says he's an eighth round pick, which makes him a negative 17 on the bustometer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't make a case against him in the eighth round. All right. Do you think he should be a sixth round pick?
Yeah.
Buddy, in full PPR, I'm okay with him with a late fifth round pick.
Buddy went to pieces.
I've got him right in smack dab in the middle of round 6.
No, Buddy was a rock. All right. Thank you very much for playing this game of bustometer.
There have been so many things that you have done on this show that I have just left me completely, like, not just like I get it, but he shouldn't have done that. Just like I have no idea what is going on in your brain.
The scene in Airplane 2 where this guy is testifying about Buddy, Andy, and Howie flying over Macho Grande has given me so many one-liners on this show. Because would you take him over Devon Achane? Would you take him over Omarion Hampton? Over Ash and Genty? And then I'll be like, over Macho Grande? And a lot of people get the reference and they love it. But you should watch that scene, the courtroom scene in Airplane 2. It is so clever. Because he's talking about guys named Andy, Buddy, and Howie, but it also sounds like he's saying Andy, but he, how he, and it's very clever. Anyway.
I think it really is like explanatory of the podcast that my courtroom scene that I quote is A Few Good Men and yours is from Airplane 2.
That's brilliant.
Also that you've seen Airplane 2 and not Sopranos.
Yeah, well, that's true. I've seen some of the Sopranos. Guys, let's get into the news and notes brought to you by Stitch Fix. If you're like me and clothes shopping isn't your thing, Stitch Fix has you covered. Get style today at stitchfix.com/football. Okay, the Panthers signed Darren Waller. He will be 34 years old in September, but he was pretty good last year. And despite averaging 45.1% of the snaps, he averaged 2.6 PPR fantasy points per target. That would have been second among tight ends behind Tucker Kraft. 1.8 yards per route run. So it wasn't just touchdowns. 1.8 yards per route run for Waller. That's basically tied or just slightly ahead of Trey McBride last year. And Waller had what would have been the highest ADOT among tight ends if he had, you know, had enough targets. But is there any fantasy value, Heath, for Darren Waller?
I think everybody hopes not. I think hopefully he was used so much downfield for Miami that they're just going to have him stretch the field on the outside like they were going to do with Chris Brazel. And then Teterell McMillan can play a little more in the slot.
Not that far downfield. It's about a 10-yard ADOT. That's pretty low for a wide receiver, but high for a tight end. Or it's average for a wide receiver. All right, so no one's drafting. I saw Jamie picked him up in a tight end premium dynasty league. That makes sense.
You could stream him to begin the year against Chicago that just lost Kobe Bryant to injury. Bears don't have a great pass rush. But that's basically the best case I can make, is that you could take Waller super late and start him and then find somebody healthier sooner than later.
Let's see. Jadarian Price returned to practice and he practiced with the first team. We got a question about him in the mailbag episode that we'll read on Friday afternoon or Saturday, whenever you hear it. Rashee Rice is not expected to be suspended. So, Dave, I think you sent me a report that Rashee Rice has looked at times good in practice, at times a little sluggish. Let's put him on the bustometer. He's kind of like, I call Rice the Trey McBride of wide receivers. He's just been so consistent in that stretch, and it's 17 regular season games where he's averaged basically enough to be wide receiver 5. But bustometer for Rice because of the knee.
It's just because of the knee, it's like a 5. But because of the entire situation in Kansas City, it's 6.5, maybe 7. Because I don't think there's a world where we can expect good numbers from Rice and Walker every single week. I think Rice, part of Rice's role in his career has been related to the Chiefs' inability to run the football. And I am now starting to understand how good Kenneth Walker can be for this offense. I'm still nervous about Walker surviving 17 games on 17 plus touches a week. But if he's going to have this major role, that's going to ease off on those short throws to Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and whoever else was getting them in years prior. And if Rashee Rice is going to be targeted on downfield throws, that's been a mixed bag in the past. Sometimes he looks great running those over routes. He's good at finding openings in zone coverage, but it's not like he's a burner. So I think he's a round 3 pick in full PPR, and I'm probably going to start entertaining him in late round 3, round 4 if it's non-PPR.
Wow. All right, you and I, let's make a date to debate Rashee Rice, and we'll do a fun video, and then we'll grow beards. The rest of the show, Heath, is all you until you have to leave. Okay, I want to get plenty of Heath time in there. So let's see. We got Emeka Buka has a minor toe injury. Oh, Heath, Ben Johnson wants the Bears to score the most points in NFL history. Does that impact you at all in terms of your rankings?
No.
I like it. You know, I like the Bruce Arians strategy of just like, let's just embarrass people. That seems to be what he wants to do. Deshaun Watson will start.
What every coach wants to do.
No, not necessarily.
Bobby Slowick would do it.
A lot of coaches take their foot off the gas.
Do you think Mike McDaniel wants to have the highest scoring offense in NFL history?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he probably will.
Probably will.
Deshaun Watson's going to start.
You should do some sort of double or nothing, Chargers versus Chiefs. That might save your beard.
Oh, I love it. All right, Deshaun Watson. Oh, God. What if I lose both? We'll start Cleveland's preseason opener. Shedeur Sanders will start the second preseason game. Tua Tagovailoa is going to start this week, but the Falcons haven't made a decision on starting quarterback yet. We had a write-up on our website of the Commanders-Dolphins joint practice. Stephon Diggs was impressive. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt got the most reps with the starters. Caleb Douglas for the Dolphins. He keeps getting good reviews. And the 49ers signed Zamir White. And thank you to Stitch Fix for sponsoring today's news and notes. Stitch Fix takes the hassle out of clothes shopping. Just take a quick style quiz, share your size, your vibe, and your budget, and you'll be matched with a real human stylist who will send you a first fix with clothes that fit and make sense for your life. Stop shopping and get style today at stitchfix.com/football. That's stitchfix.com/football. All right, here we go, Heath. Your busts. Josh Allen going 21st. Josh Jacobs going 25th, Trey McBride 27th, Bucky Irving 42nd, and Alec Pierce 67th. Heath, you're up, buddy.
This is not an anti-Josh Allen take. It's an anti-quarterback in round 2 take. I think we all think that that is at least a round too early. Last year and pretty much every year, Josh Allen's going to be a top 3 quarterback after week 17 before he plays one snap in week 18. And I expect him to be awesome once again. I don't think relative to the guys you can get in round 4 or 5 at the quarterback position that Josh Allen's going to make you feel good about taking him 19th overall ahead of Rashee Rice, Kenneth Walker, George Pickens, and AJ Brown. I think we've all got somebody in that group that we're just like, what? Don't do that, please. Wait until round 3. If somebody else takes Josh Allen in round 2, just laugh at them and wait a little bit longer and take another quarterback. Josh Jacobs,
by the way, off the board is Lamar Jackson at 40.
Right.
40.
Huge gap.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs is kind of in that group, which I think with Rice, it's the same thing. With McCaffrey, it's the same thing. And with Achan, it's the same thing. It's like, this guy's probably either going to be a bust or he's going to make us wonder why we let him fall that far because we knew he was awesome. Unfortunately, now we've found that there are two different things to worry about with Josh Jacobs. They still haven't resolved his off-the-field issues. He's also not practicing because he has a groin injury and is going to be out for at least another week. Marshawn Lloyd has looked very good at practice. He won't matter if Josh Jacobs is not suspended and not hurt, but I just can't go all the way back to round two or the 2-3 turn for a guy that we have this many questions about this far away from the season. So I am avoiding Josh Jacobs. There's too many ways that he could bust. We talked about Trey McBride. We talked about Bucky Irving. I hate the fact that Alec Pierce is supposed to be learning this new role as a wide receiver and not getting to practice with the team. There is no chance that I would take him in round six at this point. I don't really even like taking him in round eight. He has been awesome in the role of running very fast past the defense. We've not seen him do the other stuff successfully. Josh Downs, Tyler Warren, much more suited to do that type of work. I would not want to draft Alec Pierce in the first 85 picks.
When would you draft Josh Jacobs?
I think I have him at the very beginning of round four.
Man, he's going to be a really tough one. We're getting to the point where drafts are starting and, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know what to do with Josh Jacobs. And would you rather have Josh Jacobs or Malik Neighbors?
Neighbors.
Okay. Breece Hall or Jacobs?
Hall.
Right now, Jacobs
for now.
Changed quickly.
Dave, Marshawn Lloyd or Breece Hall?
Breece.
All right, is there anything you guys want to have? Has anybody drafted Josh Allen even in the top 30 at any point this year?
I don't think I have. Superflex?
Yeah, in a Superflex draft.
I would say I'm not going to have any Josh Allen, but I know I'm going to do enough drafts with people who have no intention of drafting Josh Allen. It might get to the point where I just take
it. I felt like the biggest idiot. I talked about this. We did our pick by pick series and I took Josh Allen at 37th and he was my favorite pick in the draft. I get that feels fantastic to get Josh Allen in round four, but also I know that's not the reality for the vast majority of you listening.
Yeah.
But the fact that we only have one quarterback in round two is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the first three rounds. Okay, Dave, why don't you talk about Jameson Williams?
See ya.
All right.
Later,
Heath. Talk about Jameson Williams as a bust going late in the fifth round, 59th overall.
Feel like it's too soon for him.
Just want to tease the rest. It's the Steelers running backs, Cortland Sutton and Dallas Goedert. But yeah, start with JMO.
I'll do one at a time. We'll start with JMO. And I love what he did last year once Dan Campbell called plays. It was 16.2 PPR points per game. 8 of the 10 games where this happened, Sam Laporta wasn't on the field. Laporta's healthy now. He is starting to round into form, according to reports out of Detroit. And this is going to be an offense that I think leans into Laporta. Goff talked about him as a big-time stud. And Goff is going to look for those easier throws, especially if now there's a problem in the middle of the Detroit offensive line. And it sounds like there's going to be one at least to begin the season. We know that Jared Goff is very pressure sensitive. He's not going to have the same kind of time, at least in the early going, if that offensive line can't protect him. And if that's the case, he's going to throw short. And that's great for St. Brown. That's great for Laporta. Makes me nervous for Jameson Williams. I think he's just going to end up being inconsistent. The perfect type of boom bust number three wide receiver. And if you view him through that lens, you can't take him in round five. And really, you shouldn't take him in round six either. There's too many other players that have a higher profile and should be more consistent if that's going to be what we get out of JMO. By the way, when he was playing with St. Brown and Laporta last year, 4.8 targets per game. I don't think that's going to go up that much in 2026.
I wonder who that's going behind him. You're definitively taking over Jameson Williams. It's a little bit easier on CBS right now, maybe, because we got DJ Moore and Mike Evans going behind him. Are you taking those guys ahead of Jameson Williams?
Definitely DJ Moore, and I do have Mike Evans one spot behind JMO.
Okay, and then we've got Romo Dunze and Carnell Tate and Christian Watson.
Behind. No, Watson's ahead.
Okay.
And I've got Marvin Harrison in full PPR ahead also, and Brian Thomas ahead. Brian Thomas is the same guy, but I think he'll get more targets. I don't think he's nearly as dependent on his tight end situation as J-Mo seems to be.
Interesting. Okay. How about who's next? The Steelers running backs going in the 70s.
I was shocked to see Rico Dowdle going at like the 6-7 turn on CBS. That seemed... I like him better than Jalen Warren. I think Rico's the better running back to get out of Pittsburgh because I think he'll end up getting more goal line opportunities. And the dispatches out of camp have been a little bit more positive for Rico than they have been for Warren. They've kind of classified him as the 1A, Warren as the 1B. And I'm not so sure that they're going to have defined roles outside of the goal line. And that means that they could just rotate drives. Rico gets a drive. Jalen gets a drive. They can both catch the ball out of the backfield. And so I kind of want to take whoever I can get later, but if they're both going around the same range, I think I'd rather have Rico. And on CBS, Rico's going ahead of Warren. If that flips on other sites and other ADP platforms, then I might turn to Jalen, but it depends on what that cost is going to be.
But do you like either of them in the seventh round?
No, that's the other point to it, is that I just think that that's a little bit too rich for either one.
Okay. I guess if they're both staying healthy and they're both involved, it's hard to see either of those guys destroying their ADP, unless you guys disagree with that. Right? I mean, they're just going to...
They're both flexes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What are we talking about, Dave? Do you know what running back they are in ADP? I can tell you on Fantasy Pros, Jalen Warren's RB27 and Dowdle is RB29. It's probably about where they are for
us. It's probably about what they are on CBS too. Yeah, I don't have the number for CBS, okay. Unfortunately.
Courtland Sutton.
I can count. You want to give me 30 seconds, I can count.
They're in the same range.
Yes.
Courtland Sutton, 76th overall.
Too soon for a guy that might end up being, he'll be second on the team in targets for Denver, but it might be close between him and now Pat Bryant, who's starting to etch out a role in this offense. I still think Jalen Waddle is going to be the top target earner in Denver, and I think they brought him in for a reason, and I'm still in on Jalen Waddle. But Sutton's role isn't necessarily going to change, but his target volume will. And if Pat Bryant and Jalen Waddle end up taking some decent volume away, what's left for Courtland Sutton? It's going to be 6 targets per game, and you hope he catches a touchdown. It's too soon to take him at this point.
And one more, Dallas Goedert.
Just another case of ADP being way too high.
Yeah, wild. Dallas Goedert is going.
Yeah, he shouldn't. I don't even know if he should be a top 100 pick.
You agree, Jamie?
Yeah, 88th is a little too soon. Going ahead of Kittle, Kelsey, and likely is too soon. You know, so I think Goddard is probably going to, but certainly on our site, but I think will establish himself as the number 12 tight end, kind of the mystery tight end that we've been waiting to find out who that's going to be. And it makes some sense, especially if Devontae Smith continues to miss practice time, Kyle Lemon has missed practice time. So Jalen Hurts will probably lean on Goddard as his number 2 target at worst. And last year, again, tied for the touchdown lead at the position. So a lot to like about him. I just don't think you want to reach for him.
It's just interesting that he was the number 6 tight end per game in PPR last year, number 5 in the other two formats, loses A.J. Brown, we think gets an upgraded offensive coordinator. Like everything, we like better the Eagles offense this year, you know, at least in terms of coordinator and line. And he's, you know, and we don't even think he should be a top 100 pick.
Well, I mean, again, like to compare the guys from last year, like Laporta should be better than what he was last year. Kyle Pitts will hopefully be as good as he was last year. Isaiah Likely should be better than he was like last year in his career. If you believe Harold Fannin is going to do the same things, if not stay in that same range, he's going to be, you know, better as well. So there's just a lot to like about the position. I think Dallas Goedert's fine, and I agree with Dave. Mm-hmm. I think like right around pick 100 is okay for him, but 88th is a little too soon. And again, yeah, going as like the 8th tight end off the board, like that's to me just too soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jamie has only one bust on this list that we haven't talked about. He's got McCaffrey, who's going 6th or 7th overall, and Jamie's taking him 9th. Which you might, oh, how is that about? It does make a difference.
You know, first round matters.
Yeah, it does matter. Just a few spots in the first or early in the second. Devon Achane going 11th overall, too soon for Jamie. Josh Allen, 21st. We already talked about that. Travis Achane, 43rd overall, too soon for Jamie. And then there's Travion Henderson. At least, let me see where he's going in Fantasy Pros. He's going 60th in CBS. At least I can say that, because in Fantasy Pros, Travion's going 51st. Where do you think Travion Henderson should go?
I mean, by all accounts, I'm getting to a point where I'm going to just put Ramondre ahead of him. You know, so it's tough because, again, if you were to say same amount of touches, everybody would say I'm taking Travion Henderson. You saw what Henderson's upside was last year in the three games that Ramondre missed. He had two other games where he was awesome. In the other 16 games that he played, including the playoffs, he averaged under 7 PPR points per game. So I think when you look at what Henderson's body of work is probably going to be if Stevenson is healthy, and you're just hearing reports again, struggling in pass protection, struggling in his route running, struggling this, struggling that, like, and then Stevenson's making these highlight plays in the passing game. Like, that's where Henderson's supposed to win. So I just think that, first off, the ADP is crazy. You said something earlier this week or Sunday night when we did the show, like, if you're looking for running backs with upside that are sort of waiting for an injury, why would you spend the cost on Henderson when you can get Blake Corum or Kyle Monongai two or three rounds later? And the production, if given those chances, may still favor Henderson, but could still be similar, especially at the cost difference. So,
and Jamie, I don't even think that the without the injuries to the starters, I'm not sure there's that much of a difference between Travion Henderson, Blake Corum, Kyle Monongai. That was my other point.
Yeah, it's a great call. I think just, you know, to take him in late round 5, early round 6, you're just, you know, that's the type of player that you're just hoping for. Now, again, you know, to go back to like what Jake Seeley said yesterday, playing for first, you know, there's only one approach, you know, you're win or lose, whatever, how you phrase it. The Ricky Bobby quote.
I think he said,
if you're not first, you're last.
Losers whine about their best.
So
that's what he said.
You could take that approach, and he's got league winning upside. I just don't want to take that in round 6 when I know that there's so many other good players there.
Yeah, and you could do the same swing for the fences upside pick several rounds later with not just Corum and Monongai, but maybe with Jonathan Brooks and just like anybody who could benefit from an injury.
Well, again, 19.9 points or more in the games that Stevenson missed. Like, you're not finding that type of upside. Again, Corum is a good comp. Yeah. Monongai is a good comp. But, like, you know, if that's your approach, like, just take your last 3 or 4 picks and go Marshawn Lloyd and Ray Davis and Seth McGowan and those type of guys, because if they get those opportunities, they'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, Brooks doesn't need an injury to ascend to be the top back. Travion does.
Also, in the games that both Travion and Ramondre played together, including the playoffs, 10 goal line carries, 8 of them went to Ramondre Stevenson last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's I don't really love either of those guys as long as they're both healthy. I think they're going to take away too much from each other.
Big thank you to Ryan for his donation to St. Jude for $150. We will set your lineup on the show, or well, your draft order on the show. We'll do it right now. All right, give me a number 1 through 12 for Amazing Rhino. Dave.
Who are you asking?
Dave.
Me?
Yeah, you guys do it. I got to go.
All right, later, James. 1 for Amazing Rhino.
Okay. You want to do it all? You want me to pop in there, too?
I can do it all if you want.
Baker's Land.
Are you randomizing the team names?
No, I'm going in order.
6.
NWO.
4.
AB. Life. CD. EFG.
12.
Ryan's third account.
8.
Better Call Pearsall. That's a good one.
Why don't I say the number and then you say the team name? Because I don't want to be affected by how cool or lame the team name is.
I don't think it's a problem if you are affected by how cool or lame, but okay.
All right, okay.
TD's McGee. I can't believe I just said that.
11.
Oh my gosh. Sore winner.
I mean, that is the team name. 7.
Burrested Development.
Oh, 5.
Is that a Plexico Burris got arrested joke? That's not cool. Jeremy's Gambit.
9. So there's 2 spots left, according to my count.
Mike's Magnificent Team.
3.
And Baking the Field.
There are 2.
Okay. Amazing Rhino is 1. Baking the Field is 2. Mike's Magnificent Team, 3. NOW is 4. Who's
NOW? 5? NWO.
It says NOW.
It does not.
It says NWO?
It does.
It auto-correct for me? NWO is 4. Didn't I just read it as NWO? Why does it say NOW now?
Okay. I do not know.
Burrested Development, 5. Baker's Land, 6. Sore Winner, 7. Ryan's Third Account, 8. Jeremy's Gambit 9, Better Call Pearsall 10, TD's McFly 11, not going to say that one again, and ABCD at EFG is 12. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. We got a mock draft and a mailbag tomorrow. We'll talk to you then on Fantasy Football Today.
Podcasts. Out of the shadows of Paramount Mountain, Axe, Tyrus, and Gilius battle against the evil giant Death Adder.
You better not be another mini-boss. You better be the final one!
Golden Axe! New series streaming September 16th on Paramount+.